Welcome to Healing for Your Heart. Healing for Your Heart is a daily radio program brought to you by Amelia Kenya. God wants to dwell with you, to love, to guide, to protect, and to provide for your daily needs. God's design is for you to enjoy His presence. Healing for Your Heart is possible today. Here is your author and speaker, Amelia Kenya.
We are continuing with our subject. God's presence is the door to your sufficiency. And today we are going to move on and look at something very closely related to that, an arm or a branch of our main subject. Today we will be looking at God's presence being a reality in your own wilderness. God's presence being a reality in your own wilderness. We have established five facts already. We have learned and we have said that God can walk very intimately with a person. And two, we have said that God can break through a prison. He can break through walls. He can break through even in a palace just to be with the one He loves. And then three, we've also looked at and said that God's presence brings favor. God's presence brings favor in your life. We also saw that God makes people prosperous. It is God who prospers people. And then lastly, we said or looked at the fact that God's presence is a reality you can have at any time in your life. So today we want to look at God's presence is a reality or can be a reality in your wilderness. Let us pray together and ask God to help us. Father, thank you for a new day, new grace, new mercies to be in your holy presence. And thank you for the assurance that you love your children. It is your pleasure to give them the desires of their hearts. It is your pleasure to provide for your children. Thank you for the truth that your presence can be a reality in our wilderness, in our times of need, in our moments of trouble. Your presence can be a reality we can have. I pray for everybody listening today that your presence will enshadow, will cover us and draw us to your very self. Speak to us, Lord. Begin with us. I pray that you give us your presence, you give us your knowledge and your wisdom. For we have prayed this in Jesus' name. So God's presence can be a reality you can have in your wilderness. As God's children journeyed to their land of promise, they had to depend on God. They were traveling through the wilderness, and so there were no businesses for them to manage. They did not have jobs they could take on to help them earn a living. And they were constantly in transit, so they did not even have sufficient time to plant and to harvest crops. They had to depend on God. And so God was sufficient for them. God had already made His promise to Abraham, and He was already fulfilling it right from the crowds that we see moving from Egypt to the promised land. God had promised that He would make of him seed like the sand of the sea, according to His own promise in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 16. So how could He not take care of that multitude after He had promised Abraham that He was going to deliver them from bondage and He was going to multiply them? God had an obligation to His people and He was going to do it. And besides, He is the great, mighty God. Nothing is difficult with Him. In fact, when He confronted Sarah and Abraham at their time of barrenness, In Genesis chapter 18, verse 27, the Bible records he asked them, "Is anything too difficult for me?" So having millions in the wilderness was nothing difficult for the great I am. So God took the responsibility to provide for his children even as they journeyed in the wilderness. In the morning, the Bible records that God rained sufficient bread from heaven. It was sufficient for everyone to eat and to be satisfied. And he did not just provide bread, but God was determined to fully take care of his people. So he went before his people just as he had promised. He commanded the clouds right above them. And then, not just commanding the clouds to cover and to shield and to protect them, but he commanded and the heavens opened out. The doors of heaven opened and they rained, or they rained manna upon his own children. I like the description that the Bible gives. The Bible says that God gave them of the corn of heaven. In fact, if you look at how the Bible describes it in Exodus chapter 16, verse 7, and then also the way the psalmist describes it even better in Psalm chapter 78, verse 23 to 25, according to my own view, he says that man ate the food that was set aside for angels. Man did eat angels' food. So this was nothing like what had ever taken place in the history of generations, that man was given angels' food to eat. And this manna was not like anything man had even seen. The Bible describes that it was like a coriander seed. It was white in color and it tasted like wafers made with honey. Man had no knowledge of that, but that is what God decided to feed his children on. So in the evening, God gave his children food, and this time it was even a different kind of food. In the morning they had manna, but in the evening God gave them flesh to eat. Look at how the Bible describes the kind of food that God gave and how he brought it to the children of Israel. Psalm chapter 78, verse 26 to 29, the Bible records, "He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea, and he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitations. So they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire." So when his children were in need of food, he gave them manna. When they were in need of meat, he brought quails, and God filled them, gave them as they desired, and they did eat to their fill. And now there were moments when his children were thirsty. God also stepped in when they were thirsty or when they were in need of a drink. And the Bible records that he clave the rocks in the wilderness for them. And then he brought out streams of water out of the rock. And he caused those waters to run down like rivers. So out of the rocks in the desert, God opened them out, and they gushed out water, forming rivers for the children of Israel to drink. You can look at that record in Psalm 78, verse 15 to 16. I want you to realize that this was not ordinary. God, in fact, wanted what he was doing with his children in the wilderness to be remembered. To make sure it was remembered, the Bible records that he asked that a part of that manna be kept for later generations. And when you read Hebrews chapter 9 verse 1 to 4, you will find that manna was actually put in the Ark of the Covenant, which stayed in the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle, within the tabernacle. It was special because if you look at the only other things that were found in the tabernacle, that were found in the Ark of the Covenant, this was special because you're going to find that the only other things that were found in the Ark of the Covenant were Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. That is the Ten Commandments. Manna was more than just ordinary food. If you look at God's own description, you realize God was doing something right there in the midst of his children. I want you to look at how the Bible describes manna, or how God himself describes manna in the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verse 7. The Bible says, "And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord." This is the description that precedes the falling down of manna. So Aaron and Moses saw something more than a meal for those people they were leading. As they spoke and prepared those multitudes to receive the manna, this was the description of what was soon to be their food. Look at Exodus chapter 16, verse 10. The Bible says, "They looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." So that is the manna they were seeing. But God was looking at it and seeing more than just the manna. The manna came down as the glory of God. So we can actually say that through God's majesty, he provided for his own children. And as he met the needs of his children, they also witnessed his majesty. God was present. And that was important in meeting the needs of his children. Why are we looking at this subject today? God's presence is a reality you can have in your wilderness. Let us apply it to our own lives today. You can depend on God's provisions. You can depend on God's provisions. God's provisions are dependable. If you'd like to take note, you can write that as your first notation for today. God's provisions are dependable. For 40 years, God faithfully supplied his children with manna. The supply of manna only stopped when they came to the borders of Canaan. And that is because Canaan was a land that had now been inhabited. So his children were able to go in, they were able to cultivate, they were able to farm, they were able to have fruit from their own labor. That is the only time that manna stopped. But for 40 long years, God provided for his children. And I want you to remember also that for all the time, everyone gathered manna according to his eating. The Bible records that he who gathered much had nothing over, and he who gathered little had no lack. So God provided sufficiently according to everybody's appetite. According to God's commandments, fresh manna was supposed to be gathered every morning and eaten in that day. But those who tried to keep it up to the end ended up having maggots in their manna. Why did God ask them to collect manna for just one day? I believe God wanted his children to know that he was able to meet their daily needs. God did not want them worrying about tomorrow as long as he, God, was present. God does not want you to worry about tomorrow either. God wants you to cast your cares upon him. Whatever bothers you, whatever agitates, whatever surrounds you and you feel you cannot carry or bear it on your own, God wants you to give it, to submit it to him, so that you go through your day without worrying about today and without worrying about tomorrow, because God is going to meet the needs of the day sufficiently. God wants to take care of you. And his provisions, we have said, they are dependable. I want you to look at the assurance that God gives his children in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 33. God addresses you individually, reassuring you that you are in his thoughts every day. He wants to take care of you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 33. The Bible records, "Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." As you face today, there is nobody who is going to give you a better word of promise than what God is giving you today. You will not hear any word on which you can depend, any word you can trust more than what God tells you today. God wants to meet your need. And God will meet your need. God will feed you. God will clothe you. And God will provide for you. His provisions are very dependable. I want you to take note of the last scripture that we read. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Don't flip it up. Many times we look for these things and forget about God's own kingdom, or we leave God behind as we chase after many other things in life. It is no wonder we don't get it, or we don't find what we are looking for. Look at the order. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Number two, I would like you to remember and know that you are God's business. You are God's business. It is God who brought you into this world, and God has full power to take care of you. If God could take care of his children in the wilderness, how much more can he take care of you? Look at the description he has given us in the scripture we read. He feeds the sparrows. He feeds the birds of the air. He clothes the lilies better than the kings that have lived and will ever live, will ever appear. He clothes them. How much more is he going to take care of you? If God would set a table for his children in the wilderness, how much more is he going to do that? Is he going to do for you? It is true, he is going to set a table before you, even in the very presence of your own enemies. I would like you to embrace his presence. God is going to lead you beside still waters every day. His plan is for you to live a fulfilled life in him. Every day, God wants to restore your soul. God wants you to live in a calm manner, not anxious, free from worry. God wants to take care of that worry. He wants to take care of that anxiety. He wants you to remain still, to go through life with his presence. And lastly for today, I would like you to hold on, and I want you to know that you can have as much God as your heart will desire. You can have as much God as your heart will desire. I would like you to take note of a scripture we read. The Bible reassured us that when God gave manna, he gave everyone to their fill. He gave enough. He who gathered much had nothing more. He who gathered less had nothing less, did not have less than what he needed. It is God who gave so that their hearts could be filled. If you look at Psalm 78 again, verse 26 to 29, why would he put that in his word? Christ is that manna that satisfies every man and that satisfies every need in every man. That manna is going to satisfy you according to your fill. If you have a big appetite for God, God will fill it. If you have a tiny appetite for God, then that is the little tiny appetite that is going to be satisfied. But you can have as much God as your heart desires. Or you can have as much God as you desire in your own life. There is nobody who has monopoly over God. God will satisfy you according to your need. He will satisfy you according to your appetite. Just like that manna that nourished and kept the children of Israel healthy, God also wants to be your nourishment. The Bible records in Proverbs chapter 3 verse 8 that the fear of the Lord and the shunning of evil is what brings health to our body and brings also nourishment to our bones. His words are life to those who find them. They are health to all their flesh. That is also recorded in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 22. But God wants to fill your heart. He wants to fill that desire. He wants to satisfy your desire for God. God's presence is a reality you can have in your wilderness. You may be weary. You may be suffering lack at the moment. You may be faced with difficult situations and wondering how the ends are going to meet, how you are going to meet some deadlines. But today God is telling you, yes, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God is reminding you, yes, my presence is a reality you can have even in your wilderness. Why? God is dependable. His provisions are dependable. You are God's business. He brought you into this world and he has the power to take care of you. And you can have as much God as your heart desires. I would like us to end this session by praying together. I would like you to commit whatever is bothering your heart to God, in faith, believing that God who has brought this message has brought it because he has looked at your situation, he has understood, and he has come down to help you. So commit it to God in prayer, commit it to God in faith, and believe that he has heard, he has seen, and he has come down to help you. Our Father, we bless your holy name today. We exalt you, we glorify you. Thank you that in a world full of trouble, in a world full of care, we can depend on you. Father, thank you that you care for your children. Those who are in need today, you're speaking health, you're speaking peace, you're speaking comfort, you're speaking your own provisions, your words of encouragement to bring them unto you again. May your word bring healing. May your word bring comfort. May your word bring strength. May your word bring reassurance again in the lives of your children. So, Father, thank you. May your Holy Spirit minister to us. May you help us even in the days to come, cause our hearts to trust you, to know that we can depend on you. Help us remember that we are your own business. You have the power to help us. And Lord, help us desire you every day, that our lives may be fulfilled. Father, we love you, we exalt you, for we have prayed this in Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning in to Healing for Your Heart. You can contact Amelia Kenya through her website, ameliakenya.com. That's AmiliaKenya.com. There, you will also find spiritual resources through her books, Prayer and Spiritual Warfare, Spiritual Victory for the 21st Century, Back to God for Healing, The Power of a Woman, and God's Presence, The Missing Something.